I heard a couple of things that I wanted to share with you about Father's Day as I look at our Father's Day message. It was from one thing I read from one magazine this week. It said, "When I was a kid, I said to my father one afternoon, 'Daddy, will you take us to the zoo?' He answered, 'If the zoo wants you, then let them come and get you.'" My daughter put a country song that I had never heard on Facebook, and she sent it to me, and it was, she said, "This is so me." And it was called, the song was called "Just Fishing." Don't know if you've heard it, but it's, the lyrics basically go, it's a father and a daughter who went fishing. And it says, "You thought this was about fishing, but obviously it was not." And it talks about the things that he learned and she learned from each other on the fishing trip. I took my daughter fishing. This is something you have to do. Daughters need to know at least once, at least have gone at least once fishing. To be a dad is a great thing. To share with your daughter about your experience and share with them, and those experiences are wonderful. Hopefully, we don't just honor our fathers on Father's Day, but we honor them all year long. This is my second year without my dad, and it stings a bit, but he was a great dad, and I had some great years with him, and we have come to honor our earthly fathers, but not only our earthly father, our heavenly father. I'd like for you to read with me in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, and with a promise, so that it may go well with you." This is the promise. "It may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord." Here in the scripture, we learn that the way we are to show our fathers that we love them or as sons and daughters is to honor them and also obey them. I want to talk simultaneously this morning not only about how we honor our fathers, how our fathers can honor God through bringing up their children, but also how we honor the Heavenly Father. Let me say, without the Heavenly Father, there is no instruction or discipline. Without these, you are no different than an animal in the woods. There are no values imparted, no truth shared, no righteousness, no respect, no honor, no laws, no discipline, no expectations, no parameters, no goals, no aspirations, no integrity, no heritage, no faith, no love, and no hope without the Father. On our front door, my wife put a wreath, just before Easter, and it was a spring wreath. She put the flowers in there and the grapevines around and so. And I noticed that there was a bird, because I would go in and out of the front door, a bird would fly out of that thing, and I'd go, "What the world is that bird living in our wreath now?" Then one day I came home and saw the bird fly away, and I looked, and there was a nest there. The bird had put a nest there. A week later, I came and looked through the window, because it was right through the window and the door that I could see the nest, and there were eggs in there. The mother was getting ready to have little birds. And so my wife and I said, we can't go in and out of that door. If we go in and out of that door, we'll disturb the eggs. The mother might not come back. We've got to go the other doors. We got two other doors, use those. So we blocked off that door, and we put a little sign, as a matter of fact, you can't go out this door. And we didn't use this. We haven't used it for a couple of weeks. And about Wednesday of this week, we became grand bird parents. And the little birds started popping up, and it was cute. And we also, because my front door faces the west, the door is a metal door. It would get so hot that when you come up, you could feel the heat from the door on hot summer days. And I said, those eggs are going to fry. So I went to the Best Bed Bath and Beyond and bought some blinds, and I put the blinds up and that would hang down in front of the door just to protect the door, because I didn't want those eggs or the birds once they came. And so this was done about 10 days ago. So now my wife, I won't say what she said our house looks like, but anyway, we've got blinds hanging down in front of our front door stoop, all to protect. So those are truly our grand bird parents. I mean, we're grand bird parents. We help those birds get here. I woke up yesterday morning and peeked in, and the birds weren't in there. And I went back and looked careful. I went back to bed and I said, those birds are gone. And she said, no. I said, yeah, probably some predator that has come and gotten the birds. And so, anyway, I told my wife, and she was all upset. And I said, well, we do have a hawk and we have an owl in this neighborhood. And I don't know what it was. Well, later on in the morning, she looked in there. She said, the birds are in there. I said, no, they're not. And she said, yes, they are. And I looked, and they were in there. I don't know. Maybe it was too early in the morning for me or something. But I was thinking, and I got to this point, if there was a hawk or an owl that had come down and eaten our grand birds, I probably would have called the police and we would have had that bird arrested. Now, I don't know why you're laughing, because according to the evolutionists, we're no different than the animals. So why should we worry about animals, and why should we worry about humans? I mean, if we don't arrest all the dogs and cats that do bad things to each other, why should we do that to humans? Think about it. Because we have a father who has taught us right and wrong. We have a father who made us in his image. And I'd like to read that scripture, Genesis 1, 27 through 28. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God made us in his image, and that's the only reason when someone kills someone, we go to the police about it. Else, why do we go to the police if there is no God? Because there is no right and wrong. Whose right and wrong are you saying anyway? Hadn't you heard that recently today? Sure. They'll say, whose values are you going by? Whose right and wrong are you going by? Because we live in a culture that says We're just atoms bumping around in each against each other. We're just animals. We're just grown-up cells. Well, if that's true, then what do we worry about? Do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, and it's okay. Unless we are made in the image of God and we have a Father that has given us values, that has given us parameters to live in. When someone says, I don't know that I can go along with you Christians because you say this or that is the truth and this or that is right and wrong, and I don't go with that, how do I know that's truth? Well, if you don't believe in God, there isn't any truth and there is no right and wrong, and it is my belief that my right and wrong is better than your right and wrong, but you've got a belief that your right and wrong is better than my right and wrong, and we all are just walking around going, who's right and wrong? I don't know. Let me just say this. You take God out of a society and you have no bottom line, you have no values, you have no plumb line. There's nothing there. You have what we call chaos. I've even heard people say, why don't you just do what's natural? Oh my goodness. If we do what's natural, we're in trouble. Without the Father, there are no rules of the house or expectations or values. Without the Heavenly Father for which we are made in the image, we are mere flesh and bones without much purpose. No truth, there is no evil, and there is no justice. You see, for there to be darkness and evil, there has to be light. And if there is no light, which is God, then there is no darkness. And when someone says to me, or comes and says, that the trouble with you is you say this is evil and we say that, and I don't believe that's evil. Listen, if you are not a Christian, there is no evil, okay? Your debate is contradicting yourself. It's irrational. When someone does not believe in the Father and does not worship and honor the Father, then nothing they say about values or right or wrong or evil or this is truth or that is truth makes any sense. There is none. It's self-refuting arguments. So, I want you to understand that the Father is extricably important to the culture that we live in. And honoring the Father is something that we should do, by the way, not just in our houses in private, but in public. You see, the only thing that society wants us to do today is just be quiet. Don't say it in public, and you'll be okay. You live your life in private because they know if we do things in private, nobody's going to know anything about it. And the Word of God stops being passed. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit stops being given. And the presence of God stops happening. We must be public with our faith. A father who stands, an earthly father who stands on the Father's Word does it publicly. Fathers are to honor their Heavenly Father. But also, I want to talk a bit about how we honor our earthly fathers. We are to respect them. We are to reverence their position as a father by listening to them and following their requests and commands. Fathers are not perfect. Your father, earthly father, was not perfect. He made mistakes. But we are still to honor them as our fathers. we are to respect and honor their requests and commands. This is the task of a child, to honor your father and mother. Today, I hope that you would tell your fathers you love them and you respect them. One of the most important things to a man is to hear his children say that they are respected. If my child says she loves me, but she does not respect me, then I have lost all. But if my child says she respects me, then that is the greatest goal of a father. I don't want to be a buddy to my daughters or my son. I want to be respected as a father who loves them and to be honored as such. There are six ways a father can gain the respect of his kids, and I want to give those to you. The first one is show respect. Dads, the road to respect begins on our knees. It begins with seeing our kids through God's eyes and treating them with honor. It means asking for our kids' opinions and listening when they respond. It means saying please and thank you to our kids, just as we would to anyone else. It means lifting our kids up to the throne room of God daily in prayer. You should show respect for your Heavenly Father daily as you expect your kids to show you respect. Second, you should define respect. Now, defining respect includes making your kids aware of the biblical commands to respect all human beings, and particular parents, elders, governmental leaders, and church authorities. It can also include explaining manners, such as addressing elders as sir and ma'am, or opening the door for someone as always of communicating respect to other people, teaching your child as well to respect God. Now, in this particular culture that we live in, our two words that we show respect is sir and ma'am. Now, if you come from a different culture, that's fine. You might have different words. But in this culture, it's sir and ma'am. And if I am to show respect for my parents, I say yes, sir, no, sir, or yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. That must be taught. Children are not born with it. They don't walk around as soon as they start walking saying yes, sir, no, sir, no, ma'am. I had my grandson come to stay with me, and one of the comments that was made by those who saw us is he says yes sir and no sir about everything, and he does. You don't think that wasn't hard to get him to that point? That was extremely hard to teach them the social graces, which I believe God gave us so that we show honor to those that are older than us. We must teach and also define respect. The third one, we should foster self-respect. The young person who doesn't respect him or herself will find it difficult to respect mom and dad, teachers, pastors, or anyone else. Fathers can help foster self-respect within their kids by communicating this: I respect you because you're created in the image of God. I respect you because I love you. I respect you because you're unique. Your personal talents and gifts are given by God. I respect you because you are given a calling by God. On Wednesday this past week, I also had an experience that I want to share with you, that I had a young man get in the car and we were talking about what had just gone on, and he was going. It was talking about the shooting this past week. And he said, I don't know where we have come that we don't respect our leaders. He said, I don't agree with any of our leaders right now, but I don't go out shooting them. Where is the respect for our leaders that we at least understand they are our leaders? I have always believed that God has gifted us with who we needed at the time. And if you have a harsh parent, it might just mean you needed it. If you have a very kind and loving parent, it might be you just needed that. If you've got a funny parent, it might just mean you needed the humor. I want you to know, I believe God gives us what we need. But I also believe that we are to respect and show honor and respect and foster respect, not only for others, but for ourselves. If I don't respect myself, I cannot respect anyone else. Fourth, demand respect for your wife and other adults. A father should teach his children in the home how to respect the mother and other adults. And by the way, a parent who says you are to respect your mother and he does not respect her gets nowhere with it. A father who lambasts and ridicules the mother openly in front of the children and then says to the children, you should respect your mother. Why should they? Well, you don't respect her. And a man who is trying to show his children that they should respect and honor adults cannot do so if they are not doing it to the adults they see in front of their children. And I think very carefully you should wage your words that you use with other adults in front of your children. I remember one time when I was in the swamps of South Carolina selling insurance to an older lady. And my wife was with me that time, by the way. She couldn't believe I used to work down there. She said, how did you find these places? But when I was talking with the elderly woman, she was obviously in her 70s, a young boy came running up. Six-year-old boy came running up and ran right through the door, and she said, whoa! And I mean, she was talking with me. She stopped the talk with me. She turned around and she said, son, come here. He came here. You stand here and you tell them, how are you today? Good to see you. He said, how are you today? Good to see you. He said, thank you. He said, thank you. Then she said, now you can go in the house. Stopped everything, business, everything, to make sure that child understands the correct way that you address adults. I believe number five is insist on respect between siblings. Differences and disagreements may be inevitable between brothers and sisters, but disrespect shouldn't be tolerated. A wise father will draw the line at name-calling, insults, cruel teasing, and when a child begins to have a term that they use for a sibling that is a demeaning term, they should stop that. They should not allow the child. I've heard parents say, well, just let them work it out. No. It should be halted. It should be stopped. Six, fathers should seize teachable moments. Effective fathers look for every opportunity to impart wisdom and insight. I had my grandson, and I know it's different when you have your grandson, you only got him a week, and when you have a child and you got him every day and they're wearing you out. I understand that. I had both. But I spent my whole week thinking, all right, how can I teach him today? Honestly did. We went places, we did things, but I was very careful to listen and to watch that it is my task before the living Father to teach that child every moment of the day. It is my responsibility that God has gifted me with to teach the values, the principles, and the very attitude of the Father in my child. When do we do it? Meal time, drive time, homework time, sports time, TV time. I want to be a father like my Father in heaven, because I know that the Father who shows respect will also earn respect. And I know that if a father raises their child to respect authority, then that child will grow up and be successful. After my father died, this is going to be hard for me, so y'all bear with me. After my father died, I have found a book. It's called A Father's Legacy. He had written in it, it's like it has questions at the top of each page, and then he writes the answers. Like on this page, who gave you your first job? What kind of job was it? How much money did you make? And he answered all the way through. This is his legacy to us as children, to me. And to give you an example, I liked roller skating, ice skating, sledding, stickball in the street, football, and softball. I didn't have a bike. The kid next door did, but he wouldn't let me ride it. I loved to sled. We would go up the side of the hill and sled down. We called it the North Pole. And, by the way, he lived in outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In teenage years, I was a kind of pick-up team softball. We were good, too. We beat just about all the teams around us except the bully teams that they knew we won, they would beat us up. So we let them win. We also used to make and fly kites and go-karts out of crates. We used to make guns out of inner tubes and played cops and robbers. There were a lot of kids in our neighborhood, and there were seven of us. There was always a lot to do, even though we didn't have any toys. We improvised. Now, I then looked through here and read what he had to say about becoming a father. When our first child was born in 1950, fathers were put in a father's waiting room and kept there until labor and delivery were over. My wife's delivery was long, thus the wait long. Fathers felt that they were kept away from the process, which actually was monumental. Imagine my delight when I was summoned to meet my newborn son. Our first child, I actually saw him before my wife did. It's not that she was asleep, it was just the strange way that the medical profession did everything back then. The child was beautiful, a perfect specimen of what a child should look like, just like me. And then he wrote this, but I wanted to really get to this. So this is a cherished thing. If you are a father or grandfather, you might want to look this up. This is all Christian context. Ask you what your first church was, were you ever baptized, that type of thing. That's really good. This is the greatest thing I got from my dad, okay? What would best describe your life? Explain why. I would like to think that I have lived up to the names which I have been given. Frank, honest and frank, without deception and fraud. Zedek, which in the Hebrew means righteousness, Genesis 14:18. Melchi means king, and Zedek means righteousness. He wrote down several scriptures. Melchizedek was also the king of Salem, the king of peace, Shalom. I would like to think, certainly, that those It's hard to read. We're basically characteristics of my life. Frank, honest and open. Zedek, righteous. King of Salem, peace. I am not being presumptuous after the order of Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, the king of Salem. And then finally it said this, what advice about life do you want others to remember? There is no better, this is what he wrote. All right, you've got one shot to tell everybody in the world what's the most important thing to tell them. What are you going to tell them? How to run a business? How to make $1 million? This is what my dad wrote. There is no better advice that I can give than those which I found in the scriptures. One, there is one God. Two, Jesus Christ is the revelation of who that God is. Three, Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. Four, God created all things. Without him, nothing was created. Jesus the Father, God, and the Holy Spirit are one. Five, there is salvation in no other but Jesus Christ. Six, Jesus is coming again. Seven, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he signed his name at the end of the book and said, see you in heaven. What legacy, fathers, are you going to leave? You're not done yet. I don't care whether you're grandfather or great-grandfather. You're not done yet. God still has a legacy for you to leave. And he wants you to continue your work as a father. For all the rest of us, I want to close with this thought. We worship God because he commanded it. We must tithe because he commanded it. We must work for Jesus in his church as he has commanded. We must witness for his kingdom as he has commanded. We must live holy and righteous lives as he has commanded, according to the standards that God set, not our own. We must listen and follow the request as well of what God has called us to. What is our call? To honor, respect, and follow the living God. Teach that to your children, and you will have taught the greatest lessons you could ever teach to your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren. I fear to say it's not being taught very much today. I pray that you would be honorable as a father, a grandfather, and a great-grandfather this day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that you have taken care of us, and that we have come to this point in our lives where we are reminded that to worship and to honor you is what we are called to do with our lives. I pray that we would do that, but not only do that, but teach our children and their children how to do just that. I pray that we would not neglect the moment, but we would seize the moment, for it is now.